Hi, everyone. Welcome to another Wisdom Circle conversation. And the theme of this one is called Staying Above the Fray. And actually, I thought I'd try and record this outside. And as I got set up, a thunderstorm seems to be brewing in the works. I can also smell the distant forest fire. So there is a fray out there. There's no doubt about it. But let me see if we can cue up some slides here and have this for you as well. And I wasn't going to put this into the retreat, but I think given the times that we're in right now, I thought it was important information to have. So this is in the category of bonus material, and I call this Staying Above the Fray, Resiliency and Adaptation for Uncertain Times. Well, just to kind of review, we are definitely in uncertain times. Uncertain and unpredictable. And I think that it leads to a lot of instability with regards to what people are going through right now. And I can feel the winds of change as we speak blowing around here quite rapidly. I wanted to put on the screen a picture of a bridge, because this is actually something that was used as a metaphor for stress management. And the idea is that in terms of basic stress management, and many of you know that my approach is very holistic. It's mind, body, spirit, and emotions, unlike some people who just focus on the mind or some people who just focus on the body. But the metaphor we use is that a bridge is one in which we want to strengthen the structure of the bridge so that it can hold great amounts of weight, but also we want to be smart about our lives. We want to lighten the load and not take on things we don't have to. And a lot of people do take on other people's problems. They take on other people's responsibilities when they don't have to. And so the idea is a balanced approach is we want to strengthen the structure, which comes down to relaxation techniques and coping techniques that we use to try and have a sense of groundedness and centeredness and lighten the load. Again, not take on other people's issues, not take on stress that is going to overwhelm us, and let go and learn to resolve issues so that we don't get caught up in the anger and fear mode all the time. So before I go on, I just wanted to mention this because I have a feeling that this pandemic that we're in is going to continue for a while, and it would be a gross injustice not to really talk about how to improve your immune system. So in terms of stress management, there are three things that really compromise your immune system. The first is poor sleep habits, not getting your required amount of 8 hours of sleep. And even if you're in bed 8 hours, not having quality sleep. Number two, chronic stress. And we are seeing everybody in that right now. And also poor nutrition, just eating junk food, fast food, processed foods, comfort foods, things like that, that don't have, they're not nutrient dense. They don't have the vitamins and minerals and things that we need to function. So what's the antidote if there is one? Well, we want to have some good sleep. We want to have some time for relaxation, and we want to have good food, healthy eating. And of course, this retreat really falls in the, here's some thunder. This retreat falls in the category of coming back into balance with some inner balance, inner peace. But also in our retreats, we definitely eat well and hopefully we sleep well too. So it's a template that we use to carry through the rest of the year. And so when you're listening to this, just keep in mind that we would encourage you to do these three things on a regular basis. This is part of your mind, body, spirit program. So I thought what I'd do, you know, when I first heard about the coronavirus and the pandemic and all the problems, I got to tell you, I did not have good foresight. I did not see this going as long as it is. I maybe it was wishful thinking or in the vein of Steve Jobs, magical thinking, which I have definitely been accused of and partaken on occasion. Well, it's got me where I am right now, so it works. But apparently right now it didn't work because I thought this whole pandemic would be done by May. And clearly we're into the end of August and it's still here. And the experts are now saying that we're going to see this thing probably for the next several months clear up into next spring. So as I was first observing what was going on, I thought to myself, we really want to keep in mind how to adapt the change, because we're in times of tremendous change right now. And there's layers and layers upon this change. As you go through the whole program of this retreat package, you'll see that we make references There's more thunder. Good sound effects right on cue. make reference to all kinds of changes that we're going through. But I wanted to just share with you some things which I think will be a good template for what we're doing. So I call this Above the Fray, the Power of Adaptation. And that was a word that came to me as I was thinking about, you know, how would I try and describe to people how to get through these times? And we've got to get through these times by adapting with the change that we're going through. You know, it's kind of funny. I've been in this business of stress management now for close to four decades. And the word change and stress are often synonymous. You probably heard me say that before, those of you who know me. But it's also interesting to note that the way in which we successfully change or get through change is to adapt with it. And the word adaptation and change are the same thing. So in essence, we want to change with a change. We want to go with the flow. And that's what that comes down to. So a couple things. First of all, we want to acknowledge and do some healthy grieving. And the reason why I say that is we're at a loss for normalcy. You may have heard people say, I can't wait to get back to normal. And other people saying, I'm not sure we're ever going to get back to normal. And it's very likely that as a result of all that's going on, normal as we knew it is never going to exist again. And when there is a loss like this, when we see people who are grieving the change, you know, whether it's the death of a spouse or the loss of a job or the death of a relationship, we have some noise effects here that are not thunder. I live by a farm and they're doing some stuff here, so bear with me on this. But it's a small price to pay for being outside and the elements here. So we want to grieve in a healthy way. And that is that we want to acknowledge that we've lost some things and not just ignore it. You know, I have a friend who was who lost her house during the Katrina hurricane in New Orleans. And she said to me, very matter-of-factly, she said, a lot of people just buried themselves into their jobs trying to do reconstruction. They never dealt with the loss. And when you don't deal with a loss, it comes back to bite you in the butt. So we want to give time and allow people to grieve. And to grieve properly means to acknowledge that there's a loss, perhaps have some kind of ceremony around that, if you will. To write down that your feelings and to acknowledge those. And a lot of times there's feelings of anger. We see that in the streets and the headlines all the time now. Something as simple as a loss of freedom, people upset about having to wear face masks and things like that. So we want to acknowledge the healthy grieving aspect and it would be a gross misjustice to the whole process of adaptation if we didn't acknowledge that. Next, we want to talk about acceptance. Moving on. And this is the example of accept what you change what you can, live with accept what you can't and know the difference, the proverbial prayer for serenity. You know, so I was at a restaurant up in the Tetons. I took a little break to go up to the Teton National Park and do some photography. Some of you may have seen my photograph of my bear experience there. It was pretty cool, bear eating berries. But we had dinner later that night, and we talked to the waiter, and I said to him, how are you coping with all of this pandemic stuff? And his answer was so on. He said, I'm doing well with the things that I can control. And I thought, wow, bingo, that is the answer. That is stress management. Because there's so many things that we can't control. You know, we can't control this pandemic. We can't control the politics. We can't control a lot of this stuff, but we can control our thoughts and feelings. And that's most important. But most importantly here is we want to learn to accept what we can't control and move on and not have that be a ball and chain tied to our legs or ankles so that we can't move beyond that. And so the serenity prayer is so very important in learning to accept that which we can't change and to move on. And that is a process. That's a skill. Sometimes you think you're taking two steps forward and then something happens and you get one step back or sometimes two steps back. Excuse me. So you want to be able to move on. And I would say every now and then, ask yourself, do an inventory and say, you know, how am I doing? Am I stuck? Am I moving forward? Because if you're stuck, then you're not going to grow spiritually. And that's the process here. We want to ultimately grow spiritually. Next, we talk about staying grounded. And of course, a lot of the exercises we have here in the retreat are just that, things to help you stay grounded. Things like the yoga, things like meditations, things like guided mental imagery, things like going for nature walks, all the things that we have built into the retreat process and the program here are things that we encourage you to do on a regular daily basis. So part of staying grounded is to have a good routine. And my question to you is, how is your routine and what's in your routine? People ask me, I just did an interview yesterday for a radio show and the woman said to me, well, what do you do? And I said, every morning I get up, the first thing I do is I go for a walk in nature and I have my nature therapy and I talk to God. I kind of plan out my day and then I come back and meditate for about a half an hour. And then sometime like around 2 o'clock, I go for a swim. So I get some exercise in. Then I usually meet up with a friend virtually or for real, depends on what the limits are there. So support groups are very, very important too. So I have my routine and I end every day acknowledging the things I'm grateful for. Because I am so very, very grateful. I feel very, very blessed. In these times of great change, there's much to be grateful for. So staying grounded. My question to you is, how is your groundedness? How is your centeredness? Are you staying grounded? And what are you doing to stay grounded? People who are not grounded, you see them quite a bit in the news, they fly off the handle. They're very angry. I had a friend who came back from a trip and she said, everyone is on edge and angry. And if you're like that for prolonged periods of time, then you're not grounded. And so you want to try and work through that. And so that's part of the stair step process too. Then we say access your resources. And, anybody who's going through a tough time, we see a lot of people in California who are losing their houses due to forest fires. You know, we've got forest fires here in Colorado and so far no one's lost their house that I know of, but that's a real threat. But there's also right now a hurricane approaching New Orleans and from New Orleans down to Galveston. And it's a huge, huge storm. And they're saying the surge is going to be very, very dangerous. And so there's probably likely people are going to lose some of their property there too. So in all types of disaster, all types of crises, the experts say, what are your resources? What do you have access to right now that you can utilize? And how can you secure those resources? So the first two that come to mind very obviously are time and money. Now, not everyone seems to have a lot of money these days, but time seems to be abundant for a lot of people because of the whole dynamics that we're in. But I would say think beyond time and money. Think to your support group. Who are your friends and family that you can count on to help you in tough times? Because we're going to be pushed to the limits here and we're going to have to really build on community and support groups to help us get through these tough times. There's no doubt about it. I would say in this list of resources, you want to include things like your sense of humor, your sense of patience, your sense of optimism. For those who know me, I call these the muscles of a soul, but those are what Abraham Maslow called or referred to as your inner resources. Carl Jung called them I lost my thought here. Another bolt of lightning just struck. Spiritual cures is what he called them. So regardless of what you call them, they are your resources and we definitely need to access them in times of trouble and times of strife. I also might suggest that you kind of prepare, use the Boy Scout, Girl Scout motto of be prepared and stock up on some food and water just in case there's a power outage or the internet goes down for a short period of time. There's talk we may have some brownouts and blackouts for a while as things get resettled. So in the event that there is something like that, you just want to be ready. The proverbial idea is be prepared, and that's always a good idea. Next, create good strategies. And the strategies here might be something as simple as when to go shopping in the grocery store. When the COVID thing first started, the stores cut back their hours. And then, of course, they gave priority to seniors so that not everyone could go at the same time. I thought it was a great idea. But if you didn't know that, you can actually go to the store and find out that you're not allowed in for 2 hours. And that kind of may affect your day. So know what the dynamics are, and then begin to create good strategies around those dynamics. That's what we want to do. We don't want to be caught on a unstable scenario there and then get more stressed about that. So what are some strategies? You know, part of my strategy is make sure I have time to go for a swim. I got to actually block the time because now you have to make appointments to do that. But that's part of my strategy is make sure I get my my time in the water to 3 times a week. And I, you know, go for a walk every morning. That's part of my strategies too. A lot of the strategies involve staying grounded. You might see some connections here, some common themes. So my question to you is, what is your strategy? What's your strategy now? And it's really important to have one, because if you don't, then you're going to feel like a victim, and we don't want any victim consciousness. That is not going to help you evolve spiritually. Number 6 says, evaluate your progress. And it's always a good idea to ask yourself, are these strategies really working? Because if they're not, then we need to reevaluate them and then make some changes. And every now and then, something might not work. So one strategy might be, what are you having for dinner this week? If you're always having the same thing, that might get old and you might get frustrated and bored. So maybe part of your strategy is to make up a new meal idea. And then ask yourself, hey, is this actually working? And then last but not least, celebrate your success. And I put this in there because in trying times, sometimes we have to take baby steps, and you want to acknowledge the success that you made. Maybe it was something as simple as just getting your gas tank filled. Maybe it was something as simple as going for a swim. Don't think this is going to be, you know, oh, I wrote a book, got a book published, or, you know, I won the presidency, or I went to Europe. Think small. Okay, baby steps. That's what we're talking about here in terms of success. And if you got bigger things, great. I'm impressed with that. But right now we're talking small things here. And also I would say in terms of celebrate your success, this also comes down to giving thanks, acknowledging those things that we take for granted, and also have an attitude of gratitude. So this is what I think are the most important steps. And by the way, I'm not alone in thinking this. This is what I think are the most important steps and how to adapt to the changes that we're going through. And we have a lot more coming our way, if I have a sneaking suspicion that what I hear is on target. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that we're kind of done with this, but I don't think so. I think that we're into something much bigger here. There's a bigger game plan that's being revealed. And I think that it's actually very exciting, but we want to be ready for it. We want to be at the top of our game. So those are the 7 things that I think are very, very important in terms of how to adapt. And you may notice that they're kind of like the opposite of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So healthy grieving and stuff at the bottom of the ladder, and then celebrate your success as a, you know, a spiritual thank you. Okay. I love this. Oh, let me just tell you a little story here. As you may know, some of you may have actually been on these tours to Ireland. Ireland's a magical place. I think just magical. And we didn't go this year because our tour was postponed a year because of the COVID thing, like everybody else. But we're going to go next year. And I remember one time, I think it was the very first tour. We always try and go in summer solstice. And we were in this 1600-year-old church. Looks like an upside-down boat. And we were there on summer solstice at about 10 o'clock, and we were doing a little ceremony, as we normally do. And we sing songs and recite poems and do meditation and stuff. We were in this little church, and our minstrel, Dan Sobranek, was about to sing Here Comes the Sun, you know, by the Beatles. And he starts to sing this song, and all of a sudden, I should mention to you that the skies were overcast. And when you see overcast skies in Ireland, they're like miles thick of clouds. And so our tour guide said, you know, it's a pity that we don't have any light here. But as soon as Dan began to sing, the skies broke open, and the sun came through, and the door of this church is designed to be maximal sunlight on summer solstice. And sure enough, we got it. It was like someone just turned on all these light bulbs. And the tour guide, this would be Stoney, for those who know him, Stoney turns to me and goes, "Something magical is afoot here." And I just kind of smiled. And I noticed he said that several times in the course of our tour. Actually, he says it every year. And I noticed, at least I interpret, that when he says this, what he really means is something spiritual is afoot. And I thought back to the quote by Roald Dahl, who says, "Those who don't believe in magic will never find it." By the way, he's the guy who wrote the book James and the Giant Peach and Matilda, and I think even Charlie and Chocolate Factory. So he definitely is someone who knows all about magic. Well, we are in times of great change. And I don't think this is the new normal. I think it doesn't have to be if you don't want it to be. There are a lot of people who I've discovered are living very quiet and relaxed lives in the face of all of this. So I just thought I'd share with you a couple of concepts on how we can live a new normal life. And it turns out that I have more slides here than I thought I knew. So let me just kind of pop out of this and go to the ones I want. Yes, here we go. Okay. Ta-da. So I wrote an article called Good Vibrations in Troubled Times. And we're in troubled times, all right. And the big buzzword right now, or buzz term is how do we raise our vibration? How do we raise our vibration in these times of the ascension process, if you will? So I just thought I'd share with you a couple things that is in this article that you may already be doing. If you're not, this is a good list to add to your strategy list. So I would highly recommend to meditate daily. And the experts, the wisdom keepers say to do this in the morning because it's when you have the best amount of clarity going on. And I agree. I meditate for a half an hour every day. And on the rare occasions I don't, I tend to get a headache by about 3 o'clock. So it's all the more incentive to make sure I do it. Secondly, there's me meditating in Scotland. I love this. It says the mind is like water. When it's turbulent, it's difficult to see. When it's calm, everything becomes clear. And that's the whole reason for meditation. I mean, it's not any kind of religious thing. It's really a way to get mental clarity. And as you know, and as I say time and time again, it's a way to domesticate the ego, because the ego is what makes the water turbulent. We do live in a culture of distractions, and that's what really gets the ego going. So we want to do some mindfulness meditation. That's one type of it. You can do whatever you want for meditation. But mindfulness is really training the mind to live in the present moment. And those people who live in the past or the future miss out on a lot. So number two is to listen to uplifting music. So I can recommend everyone to make a playlist of some really great relaxing music. Or upbeat music, whatever you want. To me, relaxing is uplifting, but for you, it might be something very, very different. So I'm a real big fan of music therapy. As many of you know, I love to listen to music. And here's one of my friends. Her name is Mairead Mooney, and she's an Irish fiddle player. And this is a group called Alton, and they do great tours around the country here. Next, eat good quality food. And again, get your dense nutrients of vitamins and minerals. And then you're not going to find them in comfort foods and junk foods. Doesn't mean you can't have those. Just means you want to have good diet without that stuff. And so raising your vibration means to eat good. This is actually a collection of food, as they say, food porn over in Italy. This is a picture of Positano. And those who've been on my trips know, you probably recognize some of these plates, everything from pasta to fish to the tiramisu down in the bottom right-hand corner. Minimize your exposure to the media. Oh my God, the media is full of negativity. And we're going to hear a lot more of that up until November and probably beyond that. So I would say get your essentials, find out what's going on, and then be done with it. You don't need to have it on for hours. In fact, Andy Weil says, please don't listen to the news while you eat your dinner, because you're just taking in those negative vibrations. And I think that's very true for all day long. So minimize your news and social media, which is where most people get their news these days. So we can learn to nip that in the bud. Practice an attitude of gratitude. Okay, I think I talked about that. I usually go to bed and say three things I'm grateful for. So some people say go to five. And the research shows that if you do this, you tend to give a boost to your immune system. So if you're looking for a way to kind of help that out, that's what we do, is three things you're grateful for each day. And the list could go on endlessly because there's a lot to be grateful for. Next is practice the art of forgiveness. I want to tell you a quick story about forgiveness. There's this book I read about spontaneous remissions, people who've had cancer who have had amazing recoveries, and they were told they were going to die. Well, the guy who wrote the book, Brendan O'Regan, said in the introduction there that these remissions were remarkable indeed. But then he began to look into the derivation of the word remission. He said that it comes, as I remember, from a French word which means to forgive. And so people who found they could forgive themselves and others found their tumors shrinking and disappearing. There's a wonderful story about Hans Selye, who he was supposed to win the Nobel Prize in Medicine for his work in stress and physiology, and turns out the prize went to somebody else who I believe stole some of his work. And he was very angry about that. And he came down with cancer and was told he was going to, you know, die. And someone said, you ought to write your autobiography, because if you don't, you know, we won't have all this good insight. So in the writing of his story, he thought, you know what, it's time to let this go. It's time to move on. Talk about acceptance. And so he forgave this guy. And what he found out was that the tumor disappeared. You know, I talked to Ken Pelletier about this, and he said, he goes, oh yeah. He goes, he told that story when I invited him to my stress management conference or my stress physiology conference. He goes, it was a remarkable story. He goes, but he's not alone. Margaret Mead's husband did the same thing. So anyway, don't carry on the weight if you don't have to. And I love the idea about forgiveness and remission being tied together there. So I'm a real big fan of the Ho'oponopono idea. And the four aspects of that are these lines, to re-stitch the fabric that's been torn in our culture. We say these four lines: I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. Now, we are all responsible for tears in the social fabric. And what I mean by that is that we've all done things and behaved less than stellar. Everyone, that's part of being human. And it doesn't mean that we need to live a life of guilt and shame. What it means is we need to reconcile. And the Ho'oponopono is a practice of forgiveness and reconciliation. So again, the lines are, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. And this particular practice of forgiveness, you do as part of a meditation practice. You don't go up to somebody and say these things, although probably wouldn't hurt. But in many cases, you just say it to the society from your heart in your meditation practice. Number seven says, get out in nature. That's one reason why I decided to record this, because I was hoping the hummingbirds might come as I was doing this, and I've not seen them. So I think they may have begun their migration today down south. I'm hoping that I still see them, but I don't know. No traces of them. Of course, a thunder could have scared them off. But we want to get out in nature. You know, it's kind of funny. I have to laugh. I've been talking about nature therapy for decades now. And there's a name for it. It's called ecotherapy. But it's also funny that it took a pandemic to get people to go outside. And the number of bike sales has gone through the roof. The number of fishing licenses has gone through the roof. Passes for the parks gone through the roof all over the country. So people are getting the message. But we do want to recalibrate our circadian rhythms with the natural world. That's a great idea. Also, it's a great idea to flush out the stress hormones. Surround yourself in beauty. I'm a real big fan of this. So I love to be outside in nature. I find nature very beautiful. But it could also be museums. It could also be artwork. It could be music. It could be all kinds of things. It could also be being with nature and animals too. I just got done photographing some bears. And also be our friends. Friends are a part of our beauty too. Some of you may recognize some of those people there who've been on the Ireland trip, very first Ireland trip, and the third Italy trip. So hi, ladies. And a massage is also a part of your own beauty, your own physical beauty. So I highly recommend a massage every now and then. Last but not least, I got one more thing. Work the funny bone. You know how important sense of humor is. It's a big part of resiliency. And so work that funny bone. My wife says to me, she goes, you're your own best audience. And I think we all should be our own best audience. So find one humorous thing a day, and you don't have to look too hard. So I found some things for the pandemic humor I thought I'd share with you. Since now it's just raining. You can go through these and laugh at your own pace here. This one says, come to the dark side, we have respirators. You know, the run on toilet paper. This one's cute. This guy's teaching his dog when to bark, when he's not to bark, and when he's on the phone. This is a woman wearing underwear, her face mask. And if you can see this picture, it's horrible. And this is actually a public service announcement, I think in England. Again, some little bit of humor here. You may have noticed that there's been all these people trying to recreate masterful pieces of artwork, and so there's one. But wait till you see this one here. I thought it was pretty clever. That's about my style of art therapy. And then, of course, this one based on David's statue. And then, of course, this is the makers of Pez joining forces with the Vatican to distribute communion wafers during the pandemic. For those of you who are Catholic, I hope you enjoy that one. And then social distancing in Yellowstone, on Edna, 6 feet, but everybody else, give plenty of space. And you know the importance of a Tickle notebook. I'm a big fan of that. If you've built one, keep adding to it. If you've not, start it now. There's a couple of things you've seen in my Tickle notebook. Give you time to laugh, insert laugh now. So learn to be your own best audience is what the answer is here. And last but not least, learn to cleanse and bless your chakras. And we have a meditation on that, so I won't go too much more in detail about that, but there's a great meditation on that. We want to work to be in balance with our energies, and that's the idea behind that. So everyone can become a rainbow, a spiritual being. That's the idea. And that's how we raise our vibrations. Oh, don't forget compassion fatigue. We got to get through that too. And that's how we stay above the fray. So thank you very much, everybody. Have a great time with this information. Use it as best you can. And as I pop out of here, I'm going to wave goodbye to everybody and say thanks. And now it's time to move into meditation. So we'll see you there. Thanks.